what we're doing is just a piece of the introduction to Shir HaShirim. But I think that it's significant, and I think that it points a direction. We'll see how far we get. I don't know. Yeah, but I don't expect to get through all the packet necessarily, but we'll do it what we did. Let's start with analysis of the first four psukim. And we're going to begin by really looking at the very beginning, the very end of Shir HaShirim, to give it a little bit of a framework. Okay, Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. Yishakeni Minishikot Piyu Ki Tovim Dodecha Miyayin L'Reach Shemanecha Tovim Shemen Turak Shemecha Alkein Alamot Haivucha Mashcheni Acharecha Narutza V'yani Yamelech Adarav Nagila V'nispecha Bach Nazkira Dodecha Miyayin Meisharim Haivucha. I'd like to point out two things about these opening psukim, and really three psukim, Bet Gimel Dal, because Aleph is like Koteret. It's the title to the whole Sefer. So, particularly Bet Gimel and Dal, I'd like to make two points about these psukim. The first point I want to make about these psukim is that. Come join us. The first point that I wanted to make about these psukim is the first point is that there is a The first point that I want to think about these opening psukim is that they're a unit. First point is that they're a unit. Because if you look at the end of Pasuk Bet and the end of Pasuk Gimel, if you put the end of Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Bet together, you basically get the end of Pasuk Dalet. And people notice that when you learn these psukim, in other words, the end of Pasuk Bet, Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin, the end of Pasuk Gimel, Alkein Alamot Eivucha, you put them together, Nazkira Dodecha Miyayin, okay, that's Pasuk Bet, the end of Pasuk Bet, Meisharim Eivucha, right? In other words, the end of Pasuk Dalid blends together the content of the end of Bet and Gimel, okay? So even without understanding anything, the first thing we notice is that these three psukim are a kind of introduction to the Sefer. They're kind of a unit in and of themselves. That's the first point that we should notice. Okay. The second and more significant point, but I need that first point in order to just understand that we're dealing with a section of sorts, is that if we look at Bet and Gimel and Dalet, we'll notice something very, very interesting, and that sets the tone and gives us a perspective on the whole Sefer. Okay, so please take a careful look at these psukim. Yishakeni, okay, has a double connotation. The simple, obvious, direct surface meaning is that's from the word nishika, right? Yishakeni minishikot piyo. So yishakeni, meaning to kiss, but there's a secondary meaning, right? And it alludes to the play on words, the word mashkeh, right? Mashkeh, a liquid. And I think that's particularly clear because as you continue the pasuk, right, the love, which is expressed through Yishakeni Nishikot Pihu, obviously, how is it continued in the end of the pasuk? Ki tovim dodecha miyayin. Okay, yayin, of course, being example of a fluid, of a liquid, right? Strengthening the idea that Yishakeni, that there's not only the idea of Nishika here, but also the idea of Mashka, of a liquid, of a fluid. You look at the next pasuk, L'Reach Shemanecha Tovim, okay, and Shemanecha, again, simple meaning, that's talking about shemen, an oil, which is another type of liquid, another type of fluid, continuing off where the last pasuk ended. But then it continues, there's a secondary meaning, or a secondary allusion to the idea of shame, right? Of name, or a broader sense, reputation, identity. L'reashim anacha tovim shemen turak shemecha, right? From the word shame. Alkein alamot ahivucha. And it goes from, and in a sense, this is the mirror image of the previous pasuk, right? Because the previous pasuk begins with the idea of an image of love, yishakein minishikot piyu, and then kitovim dodecha miyayin, and goes to the idea of this liquid of yayin, and the next pasuk begins with the idea of shemen, but then goes over to the idea of alkein alamot ahivucha, right? Shemen turak shemecha, alkein alamot ahivucha. So there's a relationship between, on the one hand, the shemen and the yayin, these type of mashkia, on the other hand, the love that's being expressed. Next pasuk, which is a critical one, I think, a key one for the entire sefer, mashcheni acharecha narutza, okay, mashcheni acharecha narutza. It's very interesting because here again, there is the simple meaning, mashcheni, which is to draw me, to pull me, right? Draw me after you, right? Mashcheni acharecha narutza, draw me, I will run after you. Heviyani hamelel chadarav, nagila v'tzlachabach, nazkira dodecha miyayin, mesharim ayivuchan. Again, with the return to both the idea of the love and that of the liquids, particularly the wine here. Okay? Mashcheni, I think, has a double meaning as well. And it goes together with the previous double meanings, namely the items that we had before, which are the yayin and the shemen. Okay? And where are particularly the shemen and the yayin used that Pasuk Dalet alludes to? What? But the shemen and yayin together are used as, absolutely, used as part of the avodah. Those things that you, the mashkin that you pour, right, the libations that you have, the nesachim that you have on mizbeach, and pasuk dalet, I believe, mashcheni is an allusion to what? If you put it together with the yayin and the shemen, and the expression of ava, so mashcheni, not only from the word limshoch, but also from the word, take a look at the word for a second. What? Take a look at it. A second, what word do you see there? Okay, that's it's related with, but how about Mishkan?
That was so obvious. I did not see that.
Isn't that, yeah. You see it? Mm-hmm. See it? Right, Mishkan, in which you have the Yayin and the Shemen, and all this is an expression of what? Of, right, the idea of a Shachan, the idea of Hashem's love for Am Yisrael. And I think that already in the opening Psukim, you begin to see how the mashal and the nimshal of Shir HaShirim work together, and how the pesukim themselves give us hints at what that mashal and nimshal are all about. Want to see what I'm saying? Yes? Is where I'm going with this? Okay. In other words, that on the one hand we have the clear mashal, the nishikot and the ahava and the, you know, mashcheni acharecha narutza and so on, but there's also the shemen and the yayin and the mishkan, which is at least one of the ideas of what it's a metaphor for. You can say that. Okay, everyone understand what I'm saying? Yes? Okay, this is a brief direction. That's the beginning. The end of Shir HaShirim, and we'll try to discuss a little bit in the middle as well, but the end of Shir HaShirim, the very, very end, Birach Dodi, Udmelach Utzvi, Ol Ofer Ayalim, Al Harei B'Samim. The end of Shir HaShirim is a parting of the ways of these lovers, and specifically saying to the Dod, Berach Dodi, run away and be like the Tzvi of the Ofer Ayalim Al Reb Samech. What does that mean exactly? What is that image? And it's an image that runs throughout the whole Sefer. It's a very, very important image. Please take a look at the second page. If we can look at the second page.
English.
It happens. Try to avoid it when possible, but okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. This comes from Dr. Felix in his commentary on Shir HaShirim, which is a very, very fine work. Dr. Felix is one of the great pioneers and great researchers in writers about the reality of particularly the animals and plants and vegetation of all kinds as it relates to Torah. A tremendous amount of work here in Eretz Yisrael, and he's published many, many, many fine works on the Chai v'Tzameach of Tanakh, of the Mishnah, and so on and so forth. And one of his works is on Shir HaShirim, where throughout Shir HaShirim we have this imagery of the animals and of the wildlife and the vegetation. And he speaks about this image that we just read, and I think he gives us a tremendously important insight based on his knowledge of the natural underpinnings, the scientific underpinnings. And if you take a look here on page 12, the second page of this booklet, you'll see a little bit of what he has to say about it. Okay? And I guess I pronounced some of the world's words correctly, but because I am not an expert on this, but let's look at it anyhow. He talks about these animals that are referred to here, and he says that research into life of the gazelle and hind show that it follows a certain pattern corresponding to the seasons of the year. The fawn lives under its dam's tutelage guard, but once grown up, goes off to join the herd of harts which live away from the hinds. Okay, at first, the sexes are reciprocally indifferent and avoid each other. Okay, a period of estrangement. But when the mating season comes around, the harts begin to woo the hinds by alternately, listen very carefully, by alternately chasing and fleeing from them. The maneuver is reversed by the hinds. Each then goes in search of the selected mate, and eventually they couple. So what you have here, and I think it's a very important point to realize, that the mashal that's used throughout Shir HaShirim is the image of these animals, where a very important part of their relationship is that part of the mating dance is separation for the purpose of eventually reuniting. And that this is really the punchline of Shir HaShirim, is Berach Dodi, run away, right? Run away from me. And be like the Tzvi, the Ofer Ayalim, Al Hareb Samim, that Davka, out of love, run away from one from the other. Okay? This is critical for understanding Shir HaShirim, in my opinion. And you'll see why in just a moment. There's a similar description in Perek Bet, Pasuk Zayin, and it appears a number of times, as we know. Again, referring to these animals. Right, the idea of the period of separation and estrangement being an important part of the relationship. One of the most fascinating examples, I think, is found in Perek Bet, in Pesukim Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin. Okay? Dodi li va'ani lo haro'e ba'shoshanim. Ad shiafuach hayom v'nasu atzlalim, sov d'meilach dodi latzvi ol ofer hayalim. And here, instead of, as we have in Perek Chet, al harei b'samim, he uses a different phrase, al harei bater. What are harei bater? Okay, what are harei bater? So the Ibn Ezra in Shir HaShirim says, harei bater are harei nidod. Okay, what's nidod? Where do you know the word nidod from? It's the first time that this word comes up in the Torah.
Navanad.
Very good. Navanad. Right? Navanad by Cain and Hevel. Right? Meaning to, right? So, harei nidod. Take a look. How does bater come to mean nidod? Min from the phrase Vayivater Otam Batavech, Kilomar Sheyit Pared Mimenu. So Bater means to be separate, right? Remember the Brit Bein Aptarim? Yes? Mm-hmm. Remember Brit Bein Aptarim? Brit Bein Aptarim? What? Exactly. Where the two halves of the animal are separated from each other, are split and separated one from the other, and those are the Bitarim, right? Instead of, like normally an animal, the two sides are together, but here they are separated one from the other. Okay? So therefore, the word Hare Bata, the phrase Hare Bata, rather, means Hare Nidod, right? Distancing, separating, as in Vayivater Otam Batavech, Kolom Hashit Pared Mimenu. And that fits very beautifully with what it's saying, right? It's this idea that we saw in Parakhet and Parakbet, but in any case, it's clear in Parakhet, we'll read it back in Parakbet, the idea, Barachto Di, and here it's al harei bater, meaning that the what is one saying to the other? Run away, distance yourself from me, right? Like these animals that distance themselves one from the other as part of this mating dance. Where al harei bater, on the mountains of separation and distancing. Okay, and it comes from the pasuk vayivater from the Brit Bein Aptarim. Now, this idea is also alluded to by the Midrash, by Chazal and Shir Hashem Rabbah. Ahare Bater, Bizchut Hatnaim Shitnetim Avraham Avichem Bein Aptarim, Shenamar Bayomahu Karat Hashem et Avraham Brit Lemor. This is the Brit Bein Aptarim. So it's in the Schut of the Brit Bein Aptarim. Chazal are in a sense going further than the Ibn Ezra. Now, the Ibn Ezra is saying that linguistically, how do you know what the word batar means, right? How do you know that means, you know, lafrid and means separation, distancing? You know it from the Brit Bein Aptarim linguistically. He's just quoting another pasuk where the word is used in that sense. The Midrash is actually connecting it, right, in a more innate sense, and I think that there's a very good reason for this. If we look at the Brit Bein Aptarim for a moment, and especially if we understand it along the lines of the Ran in his parish on Chumash, okay, one of the great underused Sfarim on Chumash, Ran, great Rishonim in general, but writes on Chumash, discussion, the identity, which Ran it is, but in any case, the Ran, the same Ran who wrote Drash on Ran, certainly, the Ran writes as follows. He says, I'm going to paraphrase. He doesn't say it exactly the way I'm going to say it, but the basic idea, or the direction at least, is found in the Ran. You'll see it's very relevant here. Avram says, in Pasuk Chet, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Bameh Eda Ki Ir Hashanah. When Hashem says He's going to give him Eretz Yisrael, so Avram asked, Bameh Eda Ki Ir Hashanah. Okay. There are two, from a grammatical point of view, there are two ways you can translate Bameh Eda. One is Bameh Eda means that Bameh Eda Ki Ir Hashanah. Okay, meaning, well, we'll see, there's another Bameh Eda, through what will I know? Through what will I know? Or how will I know? Right. So one way of understanding is that he's asking for in what schut, that's how Rashi translates it, etc. Right? But there's another way of translating, which is Bameh Eda, through what will I know? If you look at Pasuk, Yud Gimel, and this is really where the Ran makes his point, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Bayomer Lavram, Yadoa Teda. So Yadoa Teda can mean one of two things. Yadoa Teda can mean you will certainly know, right? It can mean Yadoa Teda, mean you will know. Or Yadoa Teda can mean I want you to know. Okay? And there are those who interpret each way. The Ran says that Bameh Eda is the response to what Pasuk? What's the answer to? That Yadoa Teda is a response to what? What's Yadoa Teda response? Pasuket, Bameh Eda. In other words, if you interpret Bameh Eda as through what will I know, And the answer is Yadoa Teida. And then the word ki can mean that, if you say that I want you to know that, but it can also mean Yadoa Teida ki. Ki can mean ka'asher, when, right? Like ki vasus paro, when this happened, when this will happen. Vayomer l'Avram, says Aran, Yadoa Teida ki ger yezar chaber tzolahem. So the standard way, the way that most people read it is that I want you to know that your descendants will be, you know, in avdut, etc. But the Ran says no. Through what will you see that there is, that the geula is coming? Through what will you see that you're going to return to Eretz Yisrael? That you're going to, there's going to be geula Mitzrayim through the shibud of Kiger Yazarach, and as when you see that your descendants are being, it doesn't mean you personally, it means when we see the subjugation, through that we'll see that we're on the path that's eventually going to lead us back. Okay, this is how the Ran interprets these pesukim. I think it's also the way the Gemara understands it at the end of Makot, the famous Gemara Makot. Everyone remember the famous Gemara Makot where Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim are going on Har Habayit, and they see the desolation, right? Rabbi Kiva is laughing or smiling, and they Chacham are crying, and the whole discussion, right? I'm not going to repeat the Gemara because we all know. But I just want to point out the following. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says there are these two nevuot, one nevuah of Tzion Tzadeh Techaresh, and one nevuah of Od Yeshvu Zekenim Zekenot, and the two in Yeshayahu are interrelated, are connected one with the other. Says Rabbi Akiva, listen very carefully, it says, until I saw the nevuah of the Chorban fulfilled, Hayiti, who remembers the Gemara? Hayiti mityare, I was afraid. Right? Hayiti yare, I was afraid. But now that I see the first nevuah of Sion Sadet Hacharesh fulfilled, biyadua. Right, biyadua, it's now known that the second nevuah of Od Yeshu Zekenim Zekenot, etc., is going to be fulfilled as well. The lashon of that I was afraid, and now biyadua that the other nevuah has been, comes from these pesukim. Right, it talks about how Avram is afraid, and then it says Hashem says to Avram, Al tira Avram, beginning of Perek Tetvav, and then it continues. Yadoa teida ki ger yazaracha. In other words, what is Rabbi Akiva really saying? He's saying that when I see the chorban, when I see the destruction, I see already the seeds of the rebuilding, and that's exactly the brit bein avtarim, right? That's why he says biyadua shenavuato shel zachariah mitkayemet. Okay. In any case, that's hari bater. That's hari bater, right? That's the brit bein avtarim. If we understand as Shir Hashirim Rabbah does, that hari bater isn't just the same word as the Brit Bein Avtarim, but it alludes to the Brit Bein Avtarim. And look how beautiful it is, because according to the Ram, what's the whole point of the Brit Bein Avtarim? That Yadoa Teida Ki Ger Yazarecha, right? That how are you going to see that we are headed towards the redemption? When you see the destruction that's leading up to it, right? When you see the subjugation that's leading up to it. What is the point in Shir HaShirim? What's being said in Shir HaShirim? That the distancing, right? The distancing between Hashem and Am Yisrael, that the separation between Hashem and Am Yisrael, what is its purpose? It's part of what these animals do. It's part of this idea of the Tzvi and the Ovrayalim. But what do? That part of their mating ritual is that there's this distancing, right? Meaning, what the Pasuk, I think, is alluding to is the following idea. That what does it say in Brit Bein Avtarim? It says in Brit Bein Avtarim that the Kiger Yezarecha Be'erso Lahem leads up to the, right, the idea of Bamei Daki Rashen. It leads, it's part of the process of leading up, because basically what it's saying is that if in the time of the Chorban, the time before the Chorban, Hashem's presence was too available, we took it for granted, we had a situation where you have the Shechina and the Beit HaMikdash, and people basically felt like, I don't have to be close to Hashem, because after all, I just go to the, you know, it's in the Beit HaMikdash, I just go there, I want to see the Shechina, you know, it's a tourist attraction, it's not real. And people don't have to internalize, and people don't have to work on vishachanti b'tocham, because they feel like the Shekhinah is there in their midst, but they don't understand that it's be vishachanti b'tocham. So the Churban is the correction for that, as bitter and as painful and as tragic as it is. It also is part of the rebuilding. In other words, part of what we need in order to get back to where we need to be is realizing what we're missing, realizing what we need to work towards, realizing what it is that we don't have. Without, you know, sometimes we have something, we don't appreciate it. Sometimes, you know, we take for granted. Sometimes when you know, we don't realize how much someone else means to us until we're separated from them. And that's exactly the meaning behind the Churban and the Galut. The Hashem says, you took my closeness for granted. You didn't realize how it's supposed to be utilized. You said, okay, the Shekhinah is right there in the Beit HaMikdash. It's always accessible. It's always, and therefore, there's no Drishat Elokim. There's no trying to create a situation for Shachat B'tocham. So therefore, I have to take away the Mikdash. I have to take this away. I have to distance. I have to kick you out of Eretz Yisrael. I have to put you into Galut so that you long to get it back. Because that's part of, that's exactly the point. How the distancing, that's the punchline of Shir HaShirim. Barach Dodiyu, Demelach Tzvi, Ol Ofer Hayalim, Al Reb Samim. Where do we first have that idea? We first have that idea in the Brit Bein Avtarim. That Bameh Edaki Rashana, through what do we see that we're on the path, that we're involved in, it's leading up? That's why Hari Bater is the context for this idea of Hari Nidod. There's a beautiful pasuk in Eicha that I think we can understand on a deeper level based on this yisod. The pasuk goes as follows: Chet chata Yerushalayim al kein lenida hayata. I'd like to focus just on the first phrase. And Chazal and Mepharshim point out already from the word liyot, from to be. Right? Okay, but it's feminine form because Yerushalayim is described as a female. Okay, alkein l'nida hayata. So therefore, I believe that's how it's called. It's a positive form, if I'm not mistaken. Again, you can take a look inside, but I think that's how it goes. Okay. The point is that like this. So it's already pointed out that there is, as much as this is clearly tochacha and churban, it's at the time of the churban, saying chet chat ayushalayim, because of the fact that we sinned, we failed, therefore al kein l'nidayat, therefore Yushalayim, therefore, you know, became like a nida, right, and distance and there's this distance and separation between Hashem and Am Yisrael. And Chazal point out that there's a consolation innate in this pasuk, because okay, al kein l'nidat hayata. Not the mashal that's used here is not one of a grusha. Right? It's not saying that's like a divorce. Chas v'shalom. Hashem isn't rejecting us. A temporary distancing, right? Like nida, temporary distancing. Okay. That's the most obvious point of consolation in this phrase. But there's a much deeper point here. There's a much deeper point. And I think it's a deeper point that can be understood beautifully in the context of the message of Shir HaShirim. The message of Shir HaShirim is not limited to Shir HaShirim, but it's a central idea in Shir HaShirim. And here, it's a point that's made in passing. There are many, many Taima Dekras, many hashkafic explanations given for the halacha of nida. By halacha of nida, I don't mean the Tumah V'Tahara aspect, I mean the separate aspect of Isur Labalim. Okay, the halacha of nida, there are different explanations that are given. But to the best of my knowledge, there's only one that is found in Chazal, and certainly in the Gemara, even Chazal in general. There's one explanation that's given by Chazal, it's given specifically by Rabbi Meir. And then the Gemara says as follows. Gemara Nida and Daf Lamed Aleph says, Tanya, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Mipnei Ma Amra Torah Nida L'Shiva. And the Gemara says, I think Rabbi Meir says, it's a beautiful, beautiful insight that's so meaningful. He says that, why is it that the Torah said that a woman who's a Nida should separate from her husband for 7 days? Mipnei Sheragilba V'Katzba. And therefore, Amar Torah Tehei Temea Shivat Yamim Kedei Shetei Chaviva Al Ba'ala Kishat Knisata L'chupa. Gemara says that there's a basic idea in human nature. A basic idea in human nature. When you think about it, even in English, right? The word to want has two meanings. What does the word to want mean?
Desire.
It means to desire something. What else does it mean?
Lack.
Exactly, to lack something. And that's not coincidental, because those two go hand in hand. Hey, we all know. Man, this one scene. One of my kids, I'm not going to name names, but it goes back a long time. One of my kids was one of the girls. She was little, very, very little. 2 years old, years old, whatever. That's a different story. I have more than one story. Baruch Hashem, I have 10 children. I can afford to have more than one story. Anyhow, so it was a different daughter. In any case, so we're in the store. It's a different store. We're in the store, and there's a Barbie. Okay, everyone knows what a Barbie is, right?
Okay.
There's a Barbie. From ancient times, but it's a Barbie, and I want that Barbie. I've got to have that Barbie. And it's this fancy, expensive Barbie. Okay, I go. We have so many Barbies at home, and all the Barbies are the same, except for the outfits, the clothing. And as soon as you kids take it home, the first thing you do is take off the clothing and you lose it. So we have at home, we have like 20 naked Barbies and they're all the same, and we need another Barbie. We're not getting the Barbie. But of course, my kids know that they want something. They ask Abba, because Abba's a pushover. And Maj, they all know. The kids know. They say to my wife, Beferish, we'll wait till Abba gets home. We'll ask him. It's okay. We'll wait. So, in the end, I buy the Barbie. Knowing full well this is a mistake, but I buy the Barbie. Okay. But I must have that Barbie. I need her. Okay. We get home. And the Barbie is still in the box. Okay. And child X, who we will not name, now she's grown up and grown beyond this, but at this point, at Labriot, says, you know, is sitting there, I'm sorry, sitting there, playing with whatever other, you know, thing, and go, the Barbie that you had to have, it's sitting there, it hasn't even been taken out of the box. I'll get to it later, I'm busy, I'll play with it later. But you need it so desperately, you had to have it. But, not that she explained this, but the explanation is obvious, that was before she had it. Once she had it, so like, okay, so, you know, we all know that who does not have X number of things in their house of whatever kind, that, you know, before they got, and when they were, you know, especially if they weren't able to get right away, I've got to have the guy, and now collects dust, and it's like, you know, okay, no, who cares, you know, give it away, right? That's human nature, because we want what we want, right? Meaning that we desire what we lack, desire what we don't have. What we have, especially we have for a while, so then it's boring already. Right? It's boring already. We don't want it, because if we have it, then we, you know, that's human nature, that's human psychology, that's simply how we're built. Therefore, says the Gemara, we don't want to create a situation where, and we all know the stereotype in every, you know, in every a sitcom and movie and cartoon and, you know, and newspaper, whatever it is, of the old married couple that, you know, they're married already for, you know, 2 months, and they're interested in each other anymore because they're already bored with each other, and you know, because that's human nature, and that's a big problem in the world. And the Torah says, as Rabbi Meir explains, that there is a period of time during which a husband and wife are separated from each other. For the purpose, says the Gemara. Gemara says this is the reason for it, right? Mipnei ma amra Torah nida l'shiva mipnei shiragil ba v'katzba. You don't want to have a situation where the relationship becomes stale and becomes boring, because after all, you're married, you have this woman, and you know, no, Torah says that's not what it's supposed to be like. But it should be that there is constantly a recurring time during which there's a forced separation where you can't be together and you're separate and you're distanced, and as a result of that, it's natural to have a renewal of desire, and that's why there is this halacha. That's the purpose of it, says Rabbi Meir, says the Gemara here. Now, why am I mentioning that now? Because look now how beautiful the pasuk is. Look now how beautiful the pasuk in Echa is. Chet chata Yushalayim al kein l'nidahayata. What does it say about the Churban? What does it say about Galut? As painful and difficult, as hard as it is, as tragic as it is, but there's a tremendous silver lining that we have to understand. Al kein l'nidahayata. It's not just that it's temporary. It's not just that it doesn't connote a severing of the relationship. It's only a temporary distancing. It's much deeper than that. What's the pasuk saying? If you compare it to Nida, what is the purpose of Nida? To reinvigorate, to strengthen, and to renew and rejuvenate the relationship. And that's an incredible perspective on the Galut. Incredible perspective on the Churban. Halavai, we should have been able to appreciate Hashem's presence amongst us and the schut of being in Eretz Yisrael and having Yerushalayim and having the Beit HaMikdash and being able to utilize it properly on an ongoing basis. But since we weren't able to do that, since we failed to do that, Chet Chat A Yerushalayim, therefore what? Therefore we were distanced from Hashem like a nida, but for what purpose? Not Chas V'Shalom, an undermining or a severing or a negation, rejection of the relationship, but lehafech, in order that because of the distance, because of the separation, we should appreciate and we should long, we should desire, and we should try to come back. And that's the point of it, and that's al kein l'nidahayata. Yes?
So then why do we read it on Pesach?
Why do we read what on Pesach?
Like, if we're talking about... Don't we
read Shira? I was just talking about Echa.
Oh, so this
doesn't... I'm talking about... Chet chatayu shalom al kein... No, Shira Shirim, we read on Pesach... For a very simple reason. Shir HaShirim is about the love between Hashem and Am Yisrael. There's many interpretations. I think it's about the love between Hashem and Am Yisrael. But that love expresses itself through many different scenarios and many different periods of history and many different situations, right? In other words, Levah, it's saying that what the Chiddush of Shir HaShirim, I think, is that not only do the times of closeness express that love, but even the distancing expresses that love. And sometimes Davka, the distancing, expresses that love. That's what Shir HaShirim is about. It's about the love of Hashem for Am Yisrael, love between Hashem and Am Yisrael. And that's Shir HaShirim. In its, you know, many applications and facets, etc., and all kinds of aspects of history. However, the reason it's on for Pesach is very simple, because the central message of Pesach is B'ni B'chor Yisrael, and the idea of Hashem's love for Am Yisrael. And that's really what Pesach is all about, is Hashem's great love for Am Yisrael. In fact, the word Pesach itself has two meanings in the Mechilta. The Mechilta says one meaning, two opinions, what Pesach means. One is to pass over, and Hashem skipped over the houses of Bnei Yisrael and didn't afflict them. The other is Pasach, meaning l'rachem, to have compassion and love and mercy for. Okay. In any case, the point is that Pesach connotes many, many sources. Pesach connotes the idea of Hashem's love for Am Yisrael, and that's why Shir HaShirim is the Megillah of Pesach. All I'm saying is that one aspect of that love, an important aspect, is the idea that is what Shir HaShirim is telling us, is that even the Churban and Galut, etc., in a different way, but expresses that love of Hashem for Am Yisrael, because it's a way of doing what? It's a way of accomplishing Mashcheini Acharecha Narutza. In other words, of Hashem drawing us close to Him. How does Hashem draw us close to Him? By running away from us so that we have to run after Him. Right? And that's how He draws us close to us. That's Mashcheini Acharecha Narutza. It's directly connected to the Mishkan or Mikdash, and the whole idea both of the building of the Mikdash, but also of the destruction of it. And all that is part of the idea of Hashem's love. And that's why it's connected. But Eicha is talking about specifically the Churban, and there it's talking about Al-Kein L'Nidayata. And I think that that's very much connected to the perspective that we have over here. Okay, I'd like to go one step further.
Can I ask a question?
Vakasha.
is this whole concept of like distancing in order to come closer, like, is this sort of like an illness, like getting worse so it can get better? Like, no idea.
That could be a muscle for it. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think that particular image is used in Shir HaShirim per se. It may be similar,
yeah.
But the image that's used here is more the distance makes the heart grow fonder type of theme of this love between them, and particularly in terms of the tzvi and the ayal and etc. Okay, I'd like to go one step further, and what I'd like to share with you is really only level one. Okay, if you notice, there are two more pages, two more intense pages in this source book, which I have a feeling we are not getting to necessarily. However, today,
maybe in 3 weeks.
I don't know if we're going to do it then either, because there are other, we'll see, maybe. But I want to just at least get through part one. By the way, this is part one of the Mavot, in the introduction. Okay?
Oh.
Part one of the introduction.
Oh,
so, but I'd like to at least get this far. There's a famous statement that appears in Chazal in many different places, in many different forms, one of which is the Midrash Tanchuma and Parshat Tetzaveh. Rabbi Akiva. Okay, it starts Vatat Tetzaveh, Zeshamar Katuv, Hinach Yafa Rayati, Hinach Yafa, etc. Rabbi Akiva. Listen carefully to what Rabbi Akiva says. Okay, Rabbi Akiva, great Rabbi Akiva, foundation of all of our Torah Shebaal Peh, Akiva says as follows. Lo haya haolam kulo kedai ki yom shenitan bo shir hashirim liYisrael shekol haktuvim kodesh v'shir hashirim kodesh kodeshim. We know that all of Tanakh is kodesh. It's kitvei kodesh. It's all holy. But shir hashirim is kodesh kodeshim. Okay, beautiful statement by Rabbi Akiva. And on the most simple meaning, that Shir HaShirim expresses the great love of Hashem for Am Yisrael, and that's, the core of everything. If you want to understand what Torah and Mitzvot are about, if you want to understand what it's all about, understand Hashem's love for Am Yisrael, and that everything that we have and all of our destiny is all tied to that idea. But, I think there are additional levels of meaning to what Rabbi Akiva says. And I want to share with you one level today, and maybe in the future, if we have time, another level. But one level today. Everyone listen very carefully. Shir HaShirim, says Rabbi Akiva, is Kodesh Kodeshim. What is Kodesh Kodeshim? Where is Kodesh Kodeshim?
Kodesh is separate, so.
I mean, a little more literally. What is Kodesh Kodeshim?
Yeah, it's the section of the
Mishnah. Kodesh Kodeshim is the heart, is the core of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, of the Beit HaMikdash, right? The Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay. What is in the Kodesh HaKodeshim? The Kodesh HaKodeshim is the Aron, right? The Aron. And I think that there are several levels of understanding what the connection is to Shir HaShirim, but I wanted to share with you the simpler one. The simpler one for now. The Gemara Menachot, Daf Tzayited, a very famous Gemara, the Pasuk of Asher Shivarta, Samtan Ba'aron, Tani Rav Yosef, Milamed Shaluchot Vishivre Luchot Munachim Ba'aron. In the Aron, we don't just have the Luchot. We also have the Shivre Luchot. Okay? That's what's at the center of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's only one of the things that's in the heart of the Kodesh HaKodeshim is the Luchot and alongside the Shivre Luchot. Okay? Listen very carefully. The Luchot certainly I described as the ksuba, right? Chazal describes it as the ksuba between Hashem and Am Yisrael, Har Sinai being the chuppah, etc. The luchot represent the love between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. What does Shivrei Luchot represent? That sometimes, in order to salvage that relationship, in order to heal that relationship, what's necessary? Sometimes the Shivrei, the destruction of it. In other words, the beginning of getting us back to the Mishkan after Hashem says, Ki lo aleh b'kir b'chem, and the idea that there's not going to be a Mishkan and that there's not going to be a v'shachan to b'tocham, right? And that in effect, the Mishkan had been built yet, but in effect, it's charei before it's even it's negated before it's even built. This is the way the Ramban explains it. What does Moshe do in order to get back? Is the fact that Moshe takes the Luchot and destroys them. And thereby, what does Moshe convey to us by destroying the Luchot? Guys, look what you're losing. Look what you're giving up. Look what you stand to lose here. Have the Luchot that represent the fact that we're having this union with Hashem, this relationship with Hashem. See that you're losing it. And Bnei Israel realize what they're losing. And they take off their edi, and they mourn, as the Pesukim describe, and Chazal amplified, but the Pesukim describe, specifically they take off the edi, and they're mit'abel, they mourn, and they realize what they, you know, that they need to come back. And that's the beginning of the return that culminates in the reestablishment of the Mishkan in Vayakal Pekudei. And the second half of Ki Tisan Vayakal Pekudei. That's the idea of Shivrei Luchot. And the Shivrei Luchot are a tangible symbol of this idea that sometimes Hashem runs away from us in order to draw us closer, in order to cause us to run after Him. Mashcheini acharecha narutza. So if Rabbi Akiva says that that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim, I think, on the one hand, certainly it means that it is very, very holy, even, you know, the rest of the Ketuvim are Kodesh, this is, you know, very, very, but it means more than that. The Kodesh Kodeshim has a specific meaning. The Kodesh Kodeshim is what houses the Luchot alongside the Shivrei Luchot. And I think that the Luchot and the Shivrei Luchot encapsulate in a symbolic form what it is that Shir HaShirim is telling us. This idea that the love is sometimes expressed by the coming close, by the union, etc., but sometimes it's expressed by the running away, by the distancing, by the separation that brings about a situation. And just as we see in the Brit of Ben HaPtarim, right, this is the idea of the Harei Bata, the idea that sometimes the separation is part of the means by which Hashem brings us closer, much as Rabbi Meir describes. Rabbi Meir, the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, describes the idea of Nida, which is how the Chorban is described. I think this is one level of understanding what's going on in Shir HaShirim. Be'ezrat Hashem, B'li Neder, hopefully we'll have occasion to see a deeper level, but at least we saw the first level. Hopefully it gives a little bit of perspective what Shir HaShirim is about.
Thank you so much.
Hashem.